Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go here talking about just another, yet another. The incompetence is just, it's unbelievable how, I mean, you get a performance. You got actually, well, after the first half, Lovey brought it up. You know, they shut him out in the second half last week, but, you know, the Dolphins had thrown in their second string quarter.
Oh, Dolphins weren't trying.
They weren't.
They were trying not to embarrass the Texans,
right,
I think.
Right. And listen, it's an NFL team, and you shut them out in the second half, and, you know, you take what you can get, especially the Texans. They'll take anything they can get. But yesterday's performance defensively, of course, Deshaun sucks.
He's
awful.
That's what being rusty looks like.
Yeah.
You hear about people being rusty and you think, is that just a guy who hasn't played in over 700 days, he couldn't throw from me to you. Yeah. He was throwing things at people's feet. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
He looked awful. They would have been much better. They would have been a better football team with Jacoby Brissett. Not even arguable.
Way better.
It's not even arguable.
Every touchdown came via defense or special teams.
He will be better, right?
Yeah.
He will be better.
No, Deshaun, we've seen him. He's going to be better. The question for Cleveland is how long does that take? My guess is it'll take maybe the third game. You'll start to see flashes of who Deshaun can be.
They're just lucky. I think that might have been the reason the NFL had an 11-game suspension was so that he could get back into it against a really awful football team. You know, and start as opposed to playing a good football team and getting destroyed and destroying Cleveland's hopes and dreams with that $230 million contract. If I was them, I would be a little bit worried about it, though. I mean, now, he will be better in years to come. He's a better player than he was yesterday. But I don't know that I've seen a worse performance. Well, I guess we have. We've seen worse performances in a win.
That's about as bad as Deshaun's played. I mean,
no, it was his worst performance ever.
Is it?
Yes, it's his worst statistically.
It was really bad.
Yeah, and now, it's one of the worst performances you'll find in a win, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Honestly, he was just awful, and scored no touchdowns offensively. The only reason that they got field position and everything else, it was just so god awful. The Houston Texans offense. Now, is there a reason? I mean, Lovey said afterwards, I don't know if I'm going back to Davis Mills. I don't know. But is there a reason when a guy is struggling like that, that you keep putting him back out there? I mean,
Kyle Allen is a journeyman backup who's never been considered a plus backup. Like, he's never somebody that other people actively target because they think he can win games if their starter goes out. And he's playing like, you know, that's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who he is. His mistakes are really bad.
It would have been interesting.
Not that accurate.
If he put Davis Mills into the game, I think the crowd might have actually cheered for Davis Mills for a change, right?
Yeah, it would have been nice. Yeah, 100%. So I think Davis Mills could have juxtaposed what Kyle Allen was doing with maybe there's some success for Davis Mills, and that's a big positive. Yeah. It's uplifting for Davis Mills.
Yeah. And instead now, he's probably going to start. He has to. You can't put Kyle Allen back out there next week, can you?
No, you can't.
I mean, honestly.
What do you, like?
Well, because you've made the decision now. Oh, well, Davis Mills is done. We're going to go to this.
But Kyle's not somebody who's a sustainable, like, he has no future with you as a future starter.
But it's more than that. It's you benched Davis Mills, and he was actually playing better than the guy who substituted for him now.
Yeah, you got to put Davis Mills is under contract and is going to be your backup more than likely next year. To me, there's no reason not to go back to Davis Mills. You gave Kyle – let's see if Kyle Allen can give us a boost. He can't. As a matter of fact, he makes negative plays. So – or has some negative plays. okay, well, let's move back to Davis Mills. We gave it a look. Gave it a look, but the guy that Davis Mills, who was our starter, is better than the backup. Let's go back. There's nothing. You've won one game. You're the worst team in football. Congrats. You'll have a first pick again. You know, big ups. But I got to look right now. I want to make sure there's no one that can get close. Doesn't feel like it. Yesterday was the game to try to make a little bit of noise. Your drive for five is almost officially dead now. It's almost officially dead.
It's dead.
1-10-1.
Yeah, it's dead.
1-10-1.
Yeah, they're going to have to win four of the five.
Yeah.
They're officially out of the playoffs. Officially out of the playoffs. So they'd have to win four of five. The drive for five, you're really...
The closest...
That has been over for a month.
The closest to you is Chicago Bears are 3-10. The Denver Broncos are 3-9. And the L.A. Rams are 3-9. Saints and Panthers are both 4-8. You ain't catching them. The only team you could maybe catch the Rams, I don't know how, but you don't have to win. The Rams have major problems.
Yeah.
The Rams have major problems.
They covered, though, which was a nice. No, they didn't. Yeah, they covered yesterday. Oh, yeah, they did.
Seattle did.
No, Seattle was 7.5-point favorite.
I had the Rams, and it said I was a loser our sheet.
No. Well, I don't know what ours was. Oh, it must have gone down. Early in the week, the Seattle was a 7.5-point favorite going to that game. A bunch of people bet the Rams, apparently. But it must have gone down.
By the way, Houston, in case you're wondering, is last in point differential, too.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like a 1-10 team should be.
What are you talking about? What?
Minus 99. How many straight games have they lost? Do you know?
Won the Jaguars game, so they've lost six?
Seven in a row.
Yeah.
Seven in a row.
Yeah. I mean, what? What are you looking at Texans' overall position standings for? It's a foregone conclusion. It's a lock to get the number one
pick. Do they have the worst offense in football?
Yes.
No.
Oh, the Broncos are worse?
Broncos are worse.
I'll argue that. The Broncos beat them.
The Broncos
could have won. Broncos beat them.
Yeah, but they haven't scored any points against
anyone
else.
What's goal differential?
They scored a whole...
What about citizenship? How many penalties do the Broncos have versus the penalties that the Texans have?
I don't know. It's a good question. My guess is... I mean, the Texans do have Kenyon Green and Laremy Tunsil on their offensive line, so I'm guessing they have more penalties.
Well, how about this? Kenyon Green back in there yesterday,
uh-huh.
And he actually wasn't.
Yeah.
No,
he was fine.
I mean, it certainly wasn't on him that the offense gave up two touchdowns.
Okay, so tell me about you were at the game. I was up here working, but I told my wife, I said, I got to get up here early to get some football stuff done because I want to see the game.
Yeah.
So I'm watching on my television up here. Couldn't get a real, got some feel
you
for the crowd noise.
I can tell you this. It was, at one point, it was more than half full. It looked like it was more than half full. At the beginning of the game, it was just awful.
Well, it always
is bad at the beginning. The Browns fans definitely drowned out the Texans fans. But when Deshaun took the field, I was pretty proud, man. The boos were real. It was the Texans. They were energetic with their booing for Deshaun. And it was every play. As soon as he got under center, they were booing him.
For how long?
And it was specific. Throughout the whole game. The whole game.
Wow.
Yeah. The whole game.
Yeah,
they kept that same energy for him. It was good.
I think a lot of, it's funny. If this were a year and a half ago, even after people knew some of the stuff, for sure, if none of the stuff had come out about the massage therapist and all that stuff, it's a different,
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who changed on Deshaun because at first they're like, yeah, I'm with you, Deshaun. This team is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And then they didn't like the way everything went down. I think he lost a lot of people with his behavior along the way, just from a football standpoint. And as they started to process it and think, wait a minute, he's under contract. They just paid him, and he signed his contract after D-Hop was gone, so he can't use that as an excuse. And then, of course, after all the, Landry Locker from another station tweeted something yesterday, and it was not a real smart tweet.
No, it was bad. It was
not a real smart tweet.
No,
but people have really, that whole situation. You have some stragglers who defend them and claim everything is a money chase. It's just some extravagant conspiracy theory that apparently 24 women all got together with the same concept and idea.
That they
were all going to do this, and they're all just chasing money. And Deshaun literally did nothing with 24 women, but Because some of it was consensual, and those women obviously don't have a lawsuit.
No. Well, listen.
And that's his lawyer said
he's
that.
He's a POS. Good riddance. He's done. He came to the stadium. They booed him. I was proud of Texans fans. The loudest cheer, and I'll bet you, and that was the first game I've been to in 3 years, 3 or 4 years. I don't know the last time I was at the
stadium. Is it still electric in that stadium?
The loudest.
Still a lot of fun?
No, but I'll tell you this. When Petrie intercepted that pass in the end zone,
it went crazy.
It was loud. It was great.
What was he looking at?
He wasn't looking at anything.
What was Watson looking at? Is it Rich Gannon?
Whoever
it was on the broadcast said one of the things you worry about is, you know, you worry about accuracy, but also decision making, field vision, and awareness of the defense. He said clearly with this interception, that's a big problem for him. Right now, he does not see the field like he needs to.
Yeah. Did you find that the announcers were making excuses for him and were, there were so many tweets about get off of his sack and all this stuff.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that's just true that he didn't play for, they said he's playing like a player who hasn't played for 700 days. Yeah, I mean, that's accurate.
No.
That was literally the worst game he's ever played.
Yeah.
I guess statistically. Yeah.
Statistically, right.
I don't know that anyone said anything that wasn't true.
Really? Okay. Maybe if you guys found it, because there were I can't tell you how many tweets were like, guys, get off him. Oh my gosh. It's embarrassing how you guys are talking about him.
I didn't pay attention to what they were saying that much. You know, I wasn't that ingrained with it. They didn't say anything that I thought was bad. They certainly weren't saying he was playing well.
I can tell you this. I hadn't been there before, but I saw the crowds watching on TV and whatnot. Yesterday's crowd was actually there were plenty of Browns fans when they scored the touchdown. When the interception return for the touchdown was just so god-awful. But the Browns fans were awfully loud. It was more Texans fans than Browns fans. The atmosphere was good, though. There was vitriol in the air for Deshaun. The Browns fans were obviously, you know, I can sense a tension about watching Deshaun and the way he was playing that they were like, oh my goodness. But the defense obviously did its part, and Cleveland fans were thrilled about that.
Could tell there was juice in the air.
It was juice.
Yeah.
It was actually like people cared about the football game.
It was kind of a throwback where people, for the first time, I was really invested in a Texans win. I was, for the first time in a long time, I was really invested because you could legitimately win this game and you help yourself from a playoff standpoint,
yeah, right,
too. I mean, there was that, you know, you put another loss on Cleveland, you own their pick, and you're still probably going to end up with the first pick anyway. So, and I wanted them to beat Deshaun. I just think the way Deshaun went about everything from a football standpoint before all the other stuff jumped off, I just thought that was I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of taking someone's money and then saying you went out and keeping the money.
Yep.
You want to give back the signing bonus, then and the team decides to trade you, a lot of that's on the Texans, how they handled it too. But once the Deshaun stuff broke, all the other stuff, that was a wrap.
We'll hear from Lovey and Deshaun on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And still ahead, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Why about Lovey wants out?
You learned that?
No, I didn't learn that, but I'll bet you right now he's like,
facing this media after.
I mean, I like this money.
He wasn't as aggressive,
as
agitated as he has been in the past with the media. I mean, I don't know how you can't. I mean, I don't know why. But we'll hear from him and Deshaun. And still ahead, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? It could have been about the men's soccer team. It could have been about about Deshaun Watson. It could have been about all the bowl games. It could have been about
The Rockets on their win on Friday and maybe not their loss on Saturday.
Yeah, that was different.
The Friday one was good.
That was really
good.
It was great. A 1-point win over Phoenix and not so much. But here's the deal, is that's going to be at 7:45, so get it ready. It doesn't matter. But it could be about your wife. It could be about your kids. It could be about your girlfriend and your wife. It could be anything.
This is where you put your personal stuff out there.
That's right.
Give a fake name and then you put all your personal stuff
out there. That's right. And but make sure it's got to be real, though. You learned it this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I've been learning over a few months now is that Artisan Grange, this I'm telling you, people are loving this. I'm getting the best responses from 975dip.com. Canstead and Dewblend. Dewblend. It's two different types of chaw. Well, there's no tobacco. It's nicotine free. It's hemp, in a hemp pouch with CBD. But you got the taste of wintergreen or citrus or berry or ice mint or dark fired or tobacco. And you get that same sensation because you put it between your cheek and gum and you go. And it's just awesome. And the guys are loving it. But you're not spitting all over the place because it's got CBD. You actually want to swallow this one as opposed to the nicotine one. You don't want to swallow. This is so much better. Guys are raving about it. They're getting off the nicotine. They're getting off of the tobacco. And they're really, really enjoying this. And so why don't you find out for yourself? And then there's CBD in it with healing qualities as well. So if you're looking for a great way to get off of that dip that you're doing right now, the tobacco dip, go to 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Do you have any thoughts on what went down yesterday or this weekend, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to talk about, we're here. It's wide open. 713-780-3776.
Real quick,
Glenn Davis is going to join us at 8 o'clock.
Okay, I want to just say real quick. I went to a bar and watched got the Irish breakfast, watched the U.S. match, and you know, they've really closed the gap in a lot of ways on the competition, but in other ways they haven't. Like, They just don't have strikers. They just don't have anyone to put the ball in the net. Every possession, like every other possession for the Netherlands that got into the final third, was a dangerous possession or a goal. And for the U.S., they had all these opportunities, and it started with Pulisic missing early in that match. And then it just, you know, watching some soccer people talk about this and listening, because I don't know the strategic stuff, I don't know. And it was really interesting to hear that, you know, what the Netherlands wanted to do was match up on the flanks to prevent their flanks. Really,
U.S. couldn't. That's where the coach said afterwards.
Yeah. He said we knew, you know, they couldn't create in the middle of the field and didn't. And listening to some U.S. soccer people, you know, some former players talk about it, I get the feeling that people don't like Greg Berhalter.
No, I can tell you this. I watched the game at Nick's place, buying Coors Lights for everybody. We sold more Coors Lights at the 9 o'clock in the morning game than the 1 o'clock game for their first game.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And how many people came, and I appreciate all of you that came. There were so many nice people that came up afterwards and whatnot. But I watched it with a soccer coach. And it was interesting to hear what he had to say. The thing that he continued to say was how slow the U.S. was, how little movement there was, how the passes were not crisp at all. That it was so slow developing that we don't have actually the midfielders should have been much more aggressive and weren't. They were attacked. The U.S. should have attacked in the middle as opposed to the flanks. And the unmarked players that scored the goals was just awful.
So
the
bad.
The defense was so awful.
Up top, I mean, it was the last one where the guy sat there on the back post and just – was basically,
I'm wide open.
I liken it to when wide receivers are uncovered and they're like, trying to get your attention before the snap.
It was exactly like that.
It was just like that.
It was exactly like that.
I mean, they just crossed it right up into the box and there was nobody on the back end.
So easy for them. And it's just so, and I mean, it was basically the same play, the first two goals, and then the crossing pass to the wide open. My goodness, so wide open. It was ridiculous. Anyway, there's still a lot of work to be done, but there will be young players that are coming up. There's a lot to be we'll talk to Glenn Davis about it.
Most of these players will be there on the next team. U.S. is automatically into the World Cup, and then you have their automatic qualifiers to the host country. And, you know, hopefully there's some young strikers coming up.
Is Canada and Mexico as well?
Is the North American thing?
No, well, there's games in Mexico and there's games in Canada.
I
don't know.
No, they wouldn't be automatic qualifiers.
Why not? They've got their
whole team. Their games there just from a logistical standpoint. Well, but I don't think they get. Why would they be?
I don't know.
They're not the country.
They are. They're hosting games.
Well, I know, but they're not. Oh, I see what you're saying. You can't have three automatic qualifiers. I'll check and
see. Yeah, we got to see. We'll ask Glenn. I don't know what that is. I doubt it,
unless it's a North American thing, but I don't think you'd have three.
I don't know.
Because who else would be playing for? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I doubt that.
We'll see. Anyway, so bad news for the U.S. losing to the Netherlands. Argentina look good. Messi look good. Brazil. Wow. Unbelievable.
Losing.
Yeah.
They didn't start a lot of their best players.
England looked really good against Senegal, because Senegal had been playing pretty well.
Marcus Rashford, of course, is France.
And then Switzerland. So very interesting. And we will continue to watch it. And Glenn Davis is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Right now, let's talk about Lovey. And let's ask whether or not he's worried about his job security. Is there a chance if they go 115 and 1, that Lovey loses his job?
I think there is too. I think there is, and
I was like, there's no way they could fire him again this year after last year. But you know what? They're worse than they were under Culley.
Here's what I was told by someone who has some knowledge is that Lovey negotiated a pretty good contract for himself, basically understanding that this is going to be a hard to win situation, and that he was taking care of himself if it was a one and done. And so I think there is a chance it could be.
Lovey's set. Not worried about Lovey's money. Especially, you're right. What you said, I think, is dead on. Lovey has got himself a nice deal, just like Culley did. He can walk off into the sunset and be just fine.
I don't know that he wants to do this again.
No. And I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like he does. It sure doesn't seem like he wants any part of this. Here's him talking about his job security after the game.
No, I don't. I've kind of never worried about job security. What I'm worried about is doing the best job I can, getting ready for the Cowboys. It's kind of simple as that.
Is he to blame for Pep Hamilton because he hired Pep Hamilton? Because he's certainly not an offensive coordinator.
Pep was on the staff last year, so is he to blame for Pep Hamilton? Well, I mean, yeah, it's his offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, and Nick Caserio is to blame for Lovie Smith, right? I don't care what role Cal played or Brian Flores played. He's hired David Culley now and Lovie Smith. And you know what? Those are two horrific hires. Two horrific hires right now. This organization, it's going to a place. Is this the worst Texans team of all time? I mean, God, it felt like last year was worst.
Who was your running back last year? This team is worse than that. Philip, at least you have a guy who's legit. Last year it was David Johnson, Philip Lindsay. Who else?
You won four games last year. You beat the Chargers last year.
But I don't even think you were better last year.
You were better than you are. This team has more talent
than last year's team, though. How's this possible?
Did you watch them? Have you watched this team?
Do you remember how bad last year was? How many covers do they have this year?
Even the two-win team, the match pick six team.
That was just a much better team than this, that just rolled out of control.
That was a much better team than this is. What was the team when they got Mario with the first pick? Whatever that team was. That was with Dom Capers last year. That was the worst. This team is worse, period.
Well, you had some defensive talent. Yeah. I think this team is more talented than last year, but I mean, the record's the record.
I don't know what to say.
The incompetence is the incompetence.
This team is worse under Lovey Smith than it was under David Culley.
So Houston Texans against the spread, and the only reason I bring this up is just how are they performing against expectations? They're 4-7-1 against the spread. Last year,
only because now they're such a lap. I mean, at home they're a
no. They're actually worse.
Wait a minute, they were a 7-point underdog to a 4-7 team.
What do you think they were last year? Here's the problem. There's more expectations for them this year.
Yeah,
they're 4-7-1. Last year they were 8-9 against the spread.
Pretty good.
They were 8-9 against the spread because they won four games and they actually played better in the second half, more competitive in the second half of the season. Actually, they were competitive in the first. They had competitive first halves a lot of times last year.
8-9 is pretty good for a team that was with four wins.
They scored 280. Their total point now, listen, their point differential last year was minus 172. Right now you're at minus 99 with five games to go. You're going to be better in point differential than you were last year. This is a more talented team. It's just the wins don't show it, and so there's nothing really that, you know, there's nothing really that can be said there. You are what your record is, but I mean, ultimately, the question you ask, to me, it's not about how many wins you have. It's how close, like, do you see light at the end of the tunnel right now? And I don't really see light at the end of the tunnel right now. You're not at that point at all yet. As a matter of fact, you won't be light at the end of the tunnel until you have a quarterback. You can't feel like I can see an opportunity for the Texans to do this. You can't do that until you have a plus quarterback. You just can't.
No.
You'll just be in that purgatory.
Nope. Well, Deshaun was, after the game, Deshaun answered all the questions. He actually even answered a question about, you know, had the remorse for his actions. He said, I did everything that I was supposed to do. But what about the reception? And Lamont brought up, he said, guys, it ain't only going to be in Houston where he gets booed. Everybody hates Deshaun. I mean, all fan bases Lamont's are going to hate on Deshaun. Did you see in the pregame any massage tables out at tailgates?
No, but I saw the picture that the guy had.
Which picture did he have?
A shirt the guy had on. It said, give me a massage. And it was in Cleveland Browns colors. It was kind of a low rent shirt.
That's a pro Deshaun shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about when he goes to Buffalo.
Wasn't at the tailgate, but I'm sure somebody did something.
I walked through the parking lot. It is a shell of what
last time I was at the tailgate was in 19, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's so sad.
It's so sad.
It used to be the best tailgate. It was named that for like three straight years.
One of the best tailgates I don't know. It didn't name that, but anyway.
No, it won the award.
I know it did, but whatever. Kansas City's always great. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
Whatever. He says he can't worry about the reception when he plays.
I'm not sure what it's going to be, you know, and that's not even my main focus. My main focus is really just doing my job of executing and just trying to play each and every snap. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, a lot of people that were showing support, but I didn't really focus on the negative things. I was focusing on trying to execute as much as I can.
Yeah, I didn't do that well either. 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead, we've got Glenn Davis at the top of the hour. At 8 o'clock. And we've also got What'd You Learn This Weekend in 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Daspit Law Firm is a company I heard from somebody just the other day was asking about John and, you know, what all he handles. They're great with personal injury stuff. And John Daspit came over from Fulbright Jaworski. He was there for years and was one of their top lawyers. And he's actually got lawyers from over at that firm who now work with him. They went over and they started working for people here in Texas. They've got 10 offices with 70 lawyers on staff. It is a monster operation. And so their research, their study, their work rate is off the charts. They are going to do the very best to get you the settlements you deserve when you have been injured through no fault of your own. That pain, that suffering, that loss of income, loss of job, we have to, the hospital bills, all that really piles up on you. And so what John Daspit and his law firm wants to do is make sure that they are on your side fighting for you, because I promise you the insurance companies are going to have lawyers fighting for them. So you need to have even footing, and John Daspit will definitely give you that, if not the advantage. He's from right here at Clear Falls High School, so he is a local person who takes care of local. He's NIL with Houston football and Houston basketball, and he is here to make sure that anyone in the state of Texas who needs help gives him a call. So make sure if you have friends or family members that you reach out to them and let them know about John Daspit. Daspit Law, DASPIT Law.com, or call 713-322-HURT.
ESPN 97.5.
Monster. You get in my way, I'ma feed you to the monster. I'm normal during the day, but at night turn to a monster. When the moon shines like ice road truckers, I look like a villain out of those blockbusters.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I got to tell you, I watched that game with mixed emotions yesterday. I got the Browns defense in both of my fantasy leagues.
Good prime.
30 and 28 points.
That's a tremendous amount. I thought Dallas didn't even end up with as much. Huh? Dallas had a tremendous amount of turnovers.
Not like the Browns.
Everyone turned into a touchdown.
Three touchdowns yesterday. But you can't play Kyle Allen again. Now, Lovey asked about another move at QB. You just can't play Kyle Allen again. He's just, I know Davis Mills is awful, but Kyle Allen has proven to be even worse. Here's Lovey on another move at quarterback.
Oh, we're definitely not in that mode. I'm just disappointed in how we play offensively right now. We as coaches got to do a better job, and just can never get the passing game going. And even if, you know, you can't get it going, you can't turn it over. And those situations really hurt us a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they really did. You mean like a quarterback sneak? He can't even hold on to the ball? You mean like I swear to God, how many passes did he sail? Deshaun was throwing him into the ground, and he was throwing him three rows deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it.
And there were some throws that,
he
like,
was awful.
You know, that's one of the things that really separates, the two things that separate starters, you know, after watching so many quarterbacks studying this stuff, it's like it's really not that hard. One of the things is poise and where to go with the football. I guess it's really three things: poise in the pocket, where to go with the football, and then accuracy on just normal throws that you need to make as a quarterback, like a little intermediate out, you know, throwing the ball on time with good ball placement. And that's one of the big differences between starters and backups. Backups are a little more erratic. Starters are going to, you know, starters are going to make
the easy plays easy. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what you have to do. And there's nothing easy. Nothing easy for this football team. It's so bad, so awful. How is? I mean, and I know this has been asked ad nauseum. How is Pierce not in when first and goal?
I don't know what this is with Pep. I mean, Pep just has no. This kid is a freaking hammerhead who never gets stopped by first contact. And if it's not Rex Burkhead, it's
Agumale.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Agumbawale. 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 It's one of the two, and it can't be Damian Pierce.
Yeah, I made that mistake, and I'm part of the community.
I don't know how.
Okay.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't even want to hear how you think you're connected, but I don't know why they have this thing against Damian Pierce. I don't know what it is where Pep just thinks, well, so, I can't possibly get a yard with Damian Pierce. I mean, how would I do that? That guy's too soft between the tackles. Damian Pierce's career is going to end in 3 years because he runs that hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, every run is just, he feels like this is the last game he'll ever play football. That's what makes him so fun to watch. And you don't have him in down there on the goal line for just awful. Almost as bad as TCU in the goal line.
Oh, TCU on the goal line, LSU on the goal line, the Texans on the goal line, just idiots.
Yeah, LSU was, you know.
Well, they were still in the game at that point.
At that point.
At that point, they were still in the game.
But when they give up 50, you just think, well,
No. Yeah.
I mean, all TCU had to do was quarterback sneak.
I was proud of how LSU played them, though. I mean, they offensively, they really, really, and especially the kid comes in and after Daniels gets hurt, and he looks pretty damn good. I was proud of the way LSU played. They were going to get smoked. They were going to get boat raced that the whole time. We all knew that. But they actually fought back and showed some stuff offensively. Defensively, they couldn't hang with. Now, that, oh, my God, Bowers is such a beast. My goodness. And Stetson Bennett is a really, really, really good college quarterback. Y'all can say whatever you want. Stetson Bennett can actually hit and is accurate, and he can hit his targets. He's got a good arm. He actually, his long ball, McConkie actually has caught some deep, beautiful deep passes from him this year. I don't care who's in the playoff right now. They got Ohio State. They're a 7-point favorite over Ohio State. Ohio State has next to no chance against this Georgia team. This Georgia team is Jalen Carter picking up Jaden Daniels with one arm and just holding him there.
And then doing the number one sign.
Doing number one with the other hand. Like he's his little kid.
By the way, Jaden is officially, he's 6'03", he's 6'03", 4", meaning 6'3" and 4/8", because it's done in eighths. He's 6'3 and a half, 185. That's like being the skinniest kid ever. And he just went, wee.
Yeah. But
he could literally.
Jaden's a tough kid now. I'm going to tell you this. He doesn't take hits directly, but he keeps getting up. Now he couldn't get up from the ankle deal. His ankle has been destroyed by guys, and but that's an ankle. You know that'll happen to a quarterback, especially a guy who runs as much.
So Georgia hung 50. Georgia can be good on offense or disappoint. There is a level of up and down to them that does give me pause to think that they're just automatically going to roll through everyone for the national title. I tell you where Georgia really got screwed, in my opinion. TCU's one loss is to Kansas State. It's a good Kansas State team. What are they set? What are they end up in the AP poll? They went from 10th to what? 7th? 8th?
I don't know.
They had to have moved up. I mean, they beat TCU.
It's the CFP poll.
No, I know, but the AP came out yesterday, too.
So it's CFP.
So I don't know where Kansas State ended up. Well, yeah, I guess they did the whole CFP, just the release of the. So Kansas State's probably my guess.
Kansas State is 9.
Okay, so they only moved up 1.
Yeah.
So Kansas State's 9. Ohio State's only loss was Michigan,
right?
Who is 2. How are both teams with one loss? How did Ohio State not jump TCU? Because now Georgia has to play.
Because they didn't want Michigan and Ohio State to be playing each other in the semifinal.
Yeah, but I don't.
No, it is. They do that all the time.
I know, but this should be about the number one team. This should be about the number one team. And frankly, it should be however it is.
Yeah. No,
like,
no.
Ohio State should
Georgia
be 3.
Georgia got screwed because they didn't want Ohio State versus Michigan.
And that's stupid. It should literally be who is 1, 2, 3, and 4. Who are those 4? And TCU should be playing Georgia. And it should be Ohio State, Michigan. Yes. Which would be pretty cool to run it back. You know, you get to run it back that quickly. I think that'd be pretty cool. And it frankly should be the way it is. Their loss was to Michigan at TCU's, which is definitely a good loss, quote unquote.
But they did get, okay, there was an overtime loss for TCU.
They stayed 3,
as opposed to getting your ass kicked like Michigan.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And it was.
And it was at home. And it was at Ohio State. And they got
Yeah, that's true too. I guess those are cases you can make. How did you lose?
Yeah.
Nick Saban, Marty Smith drove to Nick Saban's house in Tuscaloosa. It's just such an incestuous thing with ESPN and Nick Saban.
Oh yeah.
Let's go to Marty Smith on the selection show. Guys, I got in my car and I drove down to Tuscaloosa and I went to go see Nick Saban and I talked to him and he said, listen, it's a lot about who did you lose to? When did you lose, and how did you lose? And Nick had already had, like, okay, you can't lose late or you're out. He's decided that.
Yep.
Who did you lose to? How did you lose?
And, well, you got 2 losses.
And though. Nick Saban's point was we had better losses. We had, you know, he was really selling it. But when Josh Pate said TCU could be in even if they lost, at the time I was thinking – what? No, you and I were like, no, there's no way if they lose.
Well, it was an overtime loss. It's different. If they had if Kansas State had beat their ass.
Yeah, if they gotten drilled.
Yeah.
But you know what? Here's the thing. No. This also changed. If USC had won,
right.
I think TCU, Ohio State would have been in.
Really?
I think Ohio State would have jumped TCU. Yes, I think Ohio State would have jumped TCU. They both have one loss, and I think they would have jumped TCU. But it made it easy now. It made it easy once both of those teams lost. Yep. I said I didn't think there'd be any havoc. There was all kinds of havoc.
Nope, all kinds of it. All right, 713-780-3776. When we come back, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? It can be anything from your family, your job, your boss. It could be from sports. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Did you learn anything about tequila this weekend?
No, nothing I didn't already know. I did learn that that one of the restaurants here in Houston just started carrying Maestro Dobel because they heard about me talking about it, and the beverage director went and tried it and really loved it. And I also know that it's huge, huge in Mexico at a lot of the spots in Mexico on the resorts. And so if you go down to Mexico for vacation ever, there's a good chance you've seen it or you will see it. Maestro Dobel is really picking up steam nationally and, of course, locally here in Houston as more and more people are realizing this is the tequila with 11 generations of tequila makers that have they've created a variety of types of tequilas and varieties that is going to really hit your palate. And the different flavor profiles are really going to work for you, especially if you're someone who likes a sipping tequila. If you like to have a sipping tequila, I don't think that you're going to find better, especially at their price point. This is a premium top shelf tequila at a very reasonable price, and you are going to absolutely love what they're making at Maestro del Bell. Try the Cristalino called the Diamante. It is unbelievably smooth, three different tequilas, charcoal filtered, and ready for your enjoyment. Wherever fine liquors are sold, and now at most of your restaurants, many of your restaurants, if they don't care it, make sure you ask for Maestro del Bell.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
All right, time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. I've been thinking about my vehicle is coming. I've got the F-150 ordered, and it couldn't have been an easier process, couldn't have been a better process than what it was for me. I got to pick everything that I wanted. I got the help of Justin. That's why I wanted to go in as opposed to talking to someone on the internet, but you can do that. I mean, but there were so many things that I didn't know. And Justin just helped me out and picking everything that I had wanted. And, you know, the expedition that I had gotten, it had a sunroof, but I wanted the leather seats. I liked the wood. I liked everything. I loved that package, but I don't want a sunroof. So you know what I didn't get? I didn't get a sunroof here. So here's the deal is get what you want. You will always get what you want. You will not get add-ons. You will not get. Man, it's ridiculous how they're marking up these cars right now. Not a Chastang Ford. You're going to pay under MSRP. So this holiday season, order it now so that it's going to be here this spring, and you won't be happier than what you're going to get from Chastang Ford. They're just the best, just the best. Easy to work with. They're going to get you in wherever your prices need to be, whatever your payments need to be. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. Find out for yourself at ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. They're just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, 713-780-3776. You're great at this. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You get one sentence to tell us something that you learned this weekend, and then we'll try to decipher exactly what it was, okay? We sometimes break it down, probably wrongly, but it's okay. We try to break down whatever it is, but you get one sentence to tell us what did you learn this weekend. It could be about your family. It could be about your friends. It could be about your drinking. It could be about your girlfriend, your wife, whatever the case may be. It could be about sports. You learned something. Did you learn something about Deshaun Watson with his little towel out there yesterday? I don't know. Maybe you did.
What about you taking a picture of his little orange towel and putting that on Twitter? Look, Deshaun brought his little towel.
In case he has to go to the tent during the game.
Yes.
Well, it's covered up so nobody can see in
there.
Look
at you with your towel and your tent.
Well, he brought his little towel with him. 713-780-3776. Soon as somebody gets
somebody off. Somebody else I saw, like Deshaun is working exclusively under center today, not out of the shotgun. He'd prefer to be under center. I'm like, this. And then he'd prefer to be center. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
That's all. That's enough. No, we're not doing that. Let's go. Underrated
You're
mess.
You're doing that.
Your first up, underrated mess.
I learned that back in the day, the League City Police didn't really care about young women. And I remember Laura Smithers growing up.
Okay, I don't know what all that means. The League City Police didn't really care about young women.
I don't know. That sounds like a Houston.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Houston police blotter thing.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Or League City, whatever. Maybe Del can tell us because he's a League City guy. Maybe he. I don't know what he
Jersey
thinks
Village,
about young
I don't
women.
Know where he's from.
What?
Yeah, I think he is League City.
He's a League City guy. So maybe he has a history with the police. I don't know. 713-780-3776, the number. Ocho. ¿Qué pasó, Ocho?
Yeah, I learned that North Shore is playing Westlake
at Rice Stadium Saturday at 3 p.m.
Yeah, how about that? North Shore is just so good. I mean, that program is unbelievable. I don't know that there can't be a better program in the country than North Shore. There just can't. They're unbelievable.
They're up there.
They're up there from a
national standpoint. And
unbelievable
100%.
How good they are. What a job he's done. Coach K, he's unbelievable. Julian, what'd you learn this weekend?
Doesn't matter who the 49ers have a quarterback. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Bang, bang, Niner game.
Tell you what. They, yesterday.
Purdy actually looked pretty good.
They came in with Brock Purdy, and, yeah, they got it done. I mean, it was, I don't know if you're going to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy.
Go out and find somebody?
Who are you going to pull off the streets? I mean, we're past trade deadline, so.
Cap.
You think Deshaun's rusty?
How about 7 years?
How about 7 years?
Forget 700 days, 7 years that he hasn't played. Lazy J, what up, Lazy J?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What I learned over the weekend is that Tony Pollard definitely getting franchise tagged this coming season.
He's getting the tag.
Yeah,
we'll see if Zeke makes it out next year, or gets cut. I think he could be in line for cap cut. I got to check, but Tony Pollard is definitely getting franchised. Yeah, and that's the way you do it. You franchise him. You can only do it once, though, because Tony won the first rounder. So actually,
then you got to give him a raise after that. But running back money isn't that bad. But you know what? That dude probably gets another contract. And will he fall off like everybody else? I don't know. He's really, really good, though. Bobby, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that if it's first and goal from the 4-yard line, you should give the ball to your running back.
That's right.
No, you're right. You're right for that. That was just...
Hey, can I tell you what I learned? I learned that I've always been correct in my assumption that working from under center and handing off with slow developing run plays is a bad idea from the 1-yard line.
Yes.
Every time.
Every time.
Why do you not quarterback sneak it twice if you're
push,
TC?
Push it.
That's all you do.
Push, push.
You just push, push. That's the only thing you have to do.
That's all you have to do. Will, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
The Texans need to draft Bryce Young.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You just learned that this weekend, though?
I think he's just solidified.
I think that was solidified a long time ago. I'm worried about his size, but you know what? You got to take the chance. What the hell?
You know what I'm worried about? Everything about quarterback profile for Nick Caserio over the years would tell you Will Levis. Or yeah. C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Everybody. Mallett, Brissett, Davis Mills, Jimmy Garoppolo, everybody they've drafted, he's been a part of drafting, has been more of a pocket passer.
Even the guys they brought in, Brian
size.
Hoyer.
A guy with size, yeah. Yeah, Hoyer over there to New England, yeah.
Yep.
Kyle Lauletta, not as much. He's more of a pop gun arm guy. They missed on him.
Brandon, what'd you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776. Get in. What'd you learn this weekend, Brandon?
Yeah, I learned that Michigan is back-to-back Big Ten champs, baby. Go Blue!
Yeah. Yep, they are.
They didn't play great. No, they didn't play great, but they lathered up in the second half. I got news for you. I think their offensive line is going to end up in the Joe Moore Award finalists again.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost a couple starters, and they're still right back at it.
Yep. And it doesn't matter who's at running back now. There's a reason Corum was so good, right?
Yeah. They get blocked. Corum's really talented.
Yeah, but
guess what? They've got talent.
They
got
to have a holes.
They apparently have caught up with Ohio State from a talent standpoint, it seems like. At least.
And speed standpoint. Well, not at wide receiver. Nobody's catching up to Ohio State. Eric, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, and League City doesn't care about their women because of the Texas killing field.
Oh, yeah, I was reading. Okay, I'll pull that up.
Is that what it was? That's what he was referring to?
Yeah, there's an article about that. I have not read it yet.
I haven't either. Let's get David in here. David, what'd you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned the new slogan for Rockets basketball. Rockets basketball. It's going to be a minute.
Rockets basketball. He hey, that one was good. Not so much that one. Rockets basketball. It's probably not going to be great on the second game of a back-to-back.
Rockets basketball. It's going to be a minute. That's a pretty good one. Ronnie, what'd you learn this weekend, Ronnie?
Learned that the Texans should not draft Bryce Young because he will get David Carr and have all his potential drained.
Fish! Man, stop telling potential truth.
That is true. Is there any chance Bryce Young goes back to Alabama because he doesn't want to be a Texan?
No chance.
Is there any chance? I think that there is.
No chance, because would you want to go back and
would you want to get destroyed like this?
You want to go back and end up being a Texan next year?
No. Well,
that's a very real possibility.
Caleb Williams would be.
What if the Rockets the Texans have the second pick?
Oh my gosh.
You just can't take that chance.
So you just go back and you make your NIL money from Alabama this year.
You could, and you get... And
you might make more at Alabama than you would for the Texans as a rookie.
Well, plus you also can get a... you also have insurance. And all these guys have insurance. Yeah. When they go back to school, everyone's like, oh, he got hurt. He's going to be poor now and work at a ramen shop. And his what? No, he's got insurance. Like, he's going to get millions if you get hurt.
By the way,
Netflix has a true crime docuseries... Crime Scene, The Texas Killing Fields, tells the story of unsolved murders of four Texas women that occurred in the 80s and 90s in League City.
Apparently, 33 bodies of murder victims have been found within the Killing Fields area.
Wow. Oh, my God.
33. Rodney, what'd you learn this weekend?
That Jalen Hurts is the MVP.
Jalen Hurts.
He's pretty damn good. That game, I think, may have locked it up for him. As long as he coasts in, I think that may have locked it up for Jalen. I mean, Jalen put it on.
Yep.
Put it on Tennessee. That's a good Tennessee team. And, I mean, he smacked them.
Yep. I learned this weekend that when you win a bet from somebody and they bring you the money the next morning, that they're a wonderful, wonderful person that I will always bet with.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it right there. He's standing right there with my cash. What'd you learn this weekend, Jordan? What'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that if you run to the grocery store, even if it's real quick, with your 3-month-old, always bring your diaper bag.
No question. That is good advice.
Always.
Longhorn Juan, what did you learn this weekend?
Explosions.
I learned that Deion Sanders obviously doesn't have too much confidence in the current Colorado players.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, did you see that team this year? They were terrible.
If he watched two games, he'd be like,
hey. I would immediately be going to the portal. Yeah. Portal!
Are you kidding me? Jimmy, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, so if you're invited to play volleyball with the church men's volleyball team, it's probably best not to smash the face of a deacon.
Oh, ow.
You had to learn that this week?
Smash the deacon's face?
You had to learn that you shouldn't smash a ball on a deacon's face?
You shouldn't smash anybody's
face. Actually, listen, hey, if you get one off, maybe they should get their hands up.
Wow. Not if you're... Wow. A spike right into the face of the deacon?
What are you going to do? Didn't get out of the way, D.
I don't know. Are you sure you're going to be saved now? You still got that salvation? Are you sure about it?
Yeah, it wasn't intentional, probably.
Well, you don't know. You don't know that. I do know this. Glenn Davis is going to be joining us next right here to talk about the big match that we lost 3-1 on Saturday morning. Right now, though, we are talking about Absolute Marvel and Granite. We're talking about Jeff Aronoff, and we're talking about a great job that he is going to do for you and your business. He's going to do for you and your family. And here's the deal is I keep on talking about the value that you gain, but how about just the livability? How about the kitchen? It's just not nice. You want to live in a better place. You want the bathrooms. You want the vanities to be nicer. The bathtub has already got, it's cracked and there's brown spots and it just needs an upgrade so that you feel like, man, I'm living in a much nicer place. If you do the bathroom, I'm telling you, it just makes a huge, huge difference. But not only the bathrooms, your kitchen, your dining areas, your outdoor patios. He can do entire patios. He can build walls, take walls out, He can put in entire kitchens. He can do it all. Jeff Aaronoff does it all every single day. He does it in entire hotels. He doesn't. This is nothing for him to be redoing your entire house. So if you're looking for the best way to upgrade your home, but also make it more livable, it's all at 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, Absolute Marble and Granite.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.